Two angels. Well, there is. They are real. They are now divided, just like light and darkness is divided, just like good and evil is divided, just like up and down is divided, in and out and on and off is divided. It's divided. Now, why is it divided? It's divided because there is division in the heavenly hierarchy that ensued or produced a war, and this war is still being waged in the heavens. Now, we talked about Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness. No. We've already determined that angels can descend to this third dimensional form and take on flesh and blood. Now, how they do that, I don't know. Without a, you know, without a body. But we find in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find that Abraham is visited by three of these angels that could eat bread and drink water and wine and take the communion cup, have their feet washed, and all these things. Well, what does the Bible say about watching for angels? Well, here's what it says. Let me give you a scripture. Some have entertained angels unaware. Did you know that most of the people in the Bible, when angels are denoted or visited man, that these angels were in such a disguised form or fashion that they weren't recognizable for a while until they wanted themselves made known? Well, that's what the Bible said. Some have been entertained, or some have entertained angels unaware. In other words, they stopped for a drink of water, or they stopped for directions, or they knocked on your door, maybe selling hairbrushes. Who knows? It's really, 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 to me, it's real, it's awesome that we would have the preference. What is man that he was mindful of us? We're made a little lower than the angels. But there's something about man that the angels desire to look into. Well, let's see what Enoch said he was. Now, this is 1 Enoch 6, 1 through 7. I'm going to read 7 verses in the 6th chapter of the book of 1 Enoch. In those days when the children of men had multiplied, it happened that there were born unto them handsome and beautiful daughters. And the angels, the children of heaven, saw them and desired them and said to one another, "Come, let us choose wives for ourselves from among the daughters of men, and beget us children." And Semyaz, being their leader, said unto them, "I fear that perhaps you will not consent that this deed should be done, and I alone will become responsible for this great sin." Well, here, Enoch is suggesting that the leader didn't want the rest of the angels doing these things because he would take the fall. Well, somebody fell, and it just happened to be all of those who disobeyed the orders from heaven. It was a standing order for angels not to marry. Now, we believe that two-thirds of the angels, at least, because the Bible says the tail of the serpent, he drawed or he caused one-third of the stars, code word here, one-third of them to fall to the earth. Now, you know that if a star fell to the earth, like the sun, you see, the sun is a star. Anything that has active light is a star. And most of these are, you know, this sun compared to earth. The earth is just like a little donut compared to the large disk of the sun. So stars just don't fall into earth. Bodies in what we call stars out there, planets, they just don't do that. The earth couldn't withstand the shock impact of a planet system or a star burning like it would burn, fall to heaven. What happened was, these are the ones that are compared to stars, and their names, Yahweh knows all the name, calls them all by name, knows every one of them on a personal, howdy and shake level. These are the ones that fell. These are the disobedient ones. These are the ones that became guilty of sin. Now, Peter alluded to it. The angels that fell in the scriptures, he says, the angels that fell. Here, Enoch says, I fear that perhaps you will not consent that this deed should be done, and I alone will become responsible for this great sin. But they all responded to him. This is Enoch's account. Let us all swear an oath and bind everyone among us by a curse. Oh my. Not to abandon this suggestion, but to do the deed. Then they all swore together and bound one to another by the curse, and they were altogether 200. Now, this is a suggestion that there were 200 angels that transgressed by swearing an oath of allegiance to each other, that they would band together, and that they would commence mating with these daughters and bring forth for themselves children or offspring of this mating between the angels and the children of the earth, the women. Meaning that these angels evidently could render themselves male or were male. But the Bible says in heaven there's neither male nor female. And I don't know what species he's talking about, but here these angels that Enoch is alluding to, they wanted to know these daughters of men, these beautiful daughters. And they did, and they began to have offspring, and these are what are called giants. Now listen to this. The seventh chapter, verses 1-5. And they took them to themselves, and everyone respectively chose of woman for himself, and they began to go into them, and they taught them magical medicines, incantations, the cutting of roots, and they taught them about plants. And the women became pregnant and gave birth to great giants whose height were 300 cubits. Man, these giants consumed the produce of the land of the people until the people detested feeding them. So the giants turned against the people in order to eat them. Amazing. First Enoch 7:1-5, these giants had such ferocious appetites that they became cannibal. Well, isn't that sort of what Cain did? Isn't the word cannibal, don't that come from Cain? Isn't Cain a byproduct of Satan, the archangel? Well, then maybe Enoch, who is writing about this era when Cain was building great cities, now he became an instant builder of cities when the earth was cursed on him, it wouldn't yield to him. So these offspring of the daughters between the angels and the daughters that they bore, they began to produce giants, and that's exactly what the Bible says, that they were giants in the land in those days. Well, isn't that interesting that the book of Enoch would describe for us that they taught enchantments, they taught how to produce medicines, because now we're beginning to fall through sin because of this mating and the hype of these angels. It's amazing. You know what a cubit is? A cubit, in our measurement, if we've got it correctly, there is a British cubit, which is about 18 inches. And so we're talking here 300 cubits. And the appetites of these giants were so great that they just basically, if you hear this old southern saying we've got here in the South, they just ate them out of the house and home. And then when they ate all of the produce of the land, and they couldn't grow it fast enough to feed these hungry offspring, these giants that were so big. Can you comprehend how big these giants were? No wonder that the offspring of Cain was able to build large cities so quickly and to repopulate or to expand into the earth that they filled the earth. The Bible says in Genesis 6, by the time that the sixth chapter of Genesis rolls around from the first chapter of Genesis, we have such a violent earth that the earth demands a cleansing. And that's when the angels, along with the mighty one, Yahweh, himself. The Bible mentions him specifically, and his angels, called Elohim in Genesis 6. And they came down, and there they dealt, or first of all, they discussed the problem. And I said, my heavens, if we leave these beings alone, nothing will be restrained from them. And the Bible said the whole earth was in a violent mode. Violence filled the earth. Why? Because the nature of an angel mixed with the seed of the serpent. You see, now these daughters' offspring had to be from the seed of Cain. Now, who was Cain? Well, we've got to go back and look at Cain. Cain was the offspring of the chief archangel here who asked them to bind with him in a pact. Here it says, and let us swear an oath and bind ourselves that we will not break this oath that we take, that we will stay here upon the earth and we will miscegenate our seed into the earthlings and we shall rule the earth. Well, what does the Bible say about Satan? Well, it says he's the god of this earth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is he? Does he have a power over those? Is he reigning over the earth? Well, let's see if he acted like he was anyway, whether he is or not, is the question, and we think that he's given temporary reign and rule. When he took Christ onto the mountain and he tempted him, we're talking about our Messiah, he tempted him and said, if you will bind with us here in this oath, if you'll stay here with us and make a league with us, I'll make you the supreme God. Elohim is the Hebrew word. We call him God. I will make you the supreme God of this earth. And so Christ, being tempted, the Bible said he was tempted. And he thought about that for a while, and then he finally said, in essence, get behind me, Satan. Meaning that Satan had the power to offer him this position. And I do believe at that time that if the Messiah had given in and made a league with Satan and the angels that fell, then Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Uriel and all the other angels that existed in the heavens, that it would have been, well, it would have been, actually, it would have been a war if these other angels that remained loyal, if they had a fault against the coming of the battle on earth. In other words, if the battle had have ensued, then what would have happened? Who knows? Who knows? For the sake of me, I do not know what would have happened had the Messiah himself joined in league with Satan and the other fallen angels. I just really don't know. I have no idea. But I do know that he didn't. And I'm thankful and I'm honored that he withstood the temptation where so many have failed, especially man. Now, what about Gabriel and Michael and Raphael and Uriel and some of the angels that's mentioned in the book of Enoch? We get their names from the book of Enoch, along with a few more other books that list the angels. Well, let me show you something. The angels that taught women charms, enchantments, and the cutting of roots and the knowledge of plants, they taught men how to make various weapons and armor. They also taught them the arts and the science, and these acts led to the increase in lawlessness and warfare. The men of the earth then cried out to heaven. And the four archangels, Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel, cried out to God. In response, God, the mighty one, Yahweh, sent Uriel to warn Noah that there would soon come an end and there would be a flood to destroy or root out the wickedness on earth. Well, did it succeed? No. We still got wickedness, and matter of fact, we've got more wickedness now. Or perhaps the potential to have more wickedness than they had in Genesis 6 when the first world, the first earth, was destroyed through the flood. At least a specific seed, I believe, was destroyed. And the cause was not to eliminate the wicked. We're talking about the angels. You can't eliminate an angel. You can't drown him in a flood. He won't drown. He's like a cork. He keeps bobbing back up to the top. So an angel will not drown. You can't kill an angel. An angel has eternal life. You can constrain an angel. You can punish angels. And that's why that they are going to be punished forever, eternally, in the sight of the Lamb and the true angels. This is a continuous punishment for these angels. This is the end result of rebellion. Did you know the Bible says that rebellion is like witchcraft? It's worse than witchcraft. Well, notice this. Raphael was commanded to bind Aziel hand and foot and cast him into a hole in the desert that Yahweh had made. And Raphael then through the rugged and sharp rocks to cover Aziel's face so that he might not see light. Now, this is all symbolic, of course, because a rock will not keep Satan and his angels at bay. There's no stones there has to be some type of a banishment. And I believe that that banishment was a wayward planet. That this planet had such a wide arc orbit away from the Earth. And remember, Satan's only going to stay away for a season. He's coming back. And the Bible has pronounced that there would be a war upon the Earth three times when Satan and his angels do finally return to Earth. There is going to be such an advent of acceptance that the whole world will, number one, be deceived, number two, wonder after the power of Satan and the angels, these angels that are masquerading as the true blues of the heavens, who had never sinned. These are the ones that sin. And yet when they come, they're going to have such technology, such power, such essence, such presence, that the Bible speaks about in the book of Revelation, that all the world will wonder after them, and he would deceive the whole world, and even the elect, if possible. The only thing that will stand between Satan and his angels deceiving even the elect is the grace of God implanted within our minds. And in that day, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak out of our mouth as a flame of fire. And we will not love our lives unto death. Some of us will kill. We will be persecuted, hunted down as common criminals, if we don't yield to the wishes and the desires of Satan and his angels. They will remain, that is Satan and his angels. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture here that I've done quoted, but I want to read it to you so that you will know just exactly what we're talking about here as far as the effects of these fallen angels. Did you know that the Bible is fulfilling today and that we are in a time of trouble? Chiefly them that walk after the flesh is the trouble of the flesh. In the lust of uncleanliness. Now, what about lust? Lust of what? The same lust of Genesis 6 will be in our age of the days of his coming. They will despise government. Now, well, you know, most people are addicted to government today. So, is that prophecy true, Pastor Buddy? Well, that's the government of Yahweh. Of course, they will despise Yahweh's government, but they will love the one world order government that is being established and dedicated to the ancient gods of paganism. And Satan himself will finally, in the end time of this generation, appear out of the heavens. See, his coming is just like Christ. He will actually be accepted as Christ, and he will let the people think he is Christ, and he will deceive, as I said, the very elect. Now, whereas angels, which are greater in power, might bring not a railing accusation against them before Yahweh. When they were doing this in Genesis 6, there was a communication, if you will, between the angelic hierarchy and those who were here upon earth sinning, and there was negotiations, and the negotiations broke down, and war was declared. And the war there's never been a peace treaty signed since the war was declared in Genesis 6. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. This race of giants, produced from the union of earthlings, gave way to blood drinking, flesh eating, and they tormented mankind because they were actually so hungry. The book of Enoch says that they were actually consuming the flesh of man. Now look at 1 Enoch 15. But now the giants who were born from the union of the spirits and the flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, because their dwelling shall be upon the earth and inside the earth. Let me repeat that. And their dwelling shall be upon the earth and inside the earth. Are we now seeing the evidence of Satan inside the earth? Is the earth hollow? Can these demonic demons actually stand inside the earth? Have we access to inside the earth? Have there been discoveries of people inside the earth? Well, if you believe some of the reported sightings, yes. Here it is. These evil spirits have come out of their bodies because from the day that they were created from the Holy Ones, they became the watchers. Their first origin is the spiritual foundation. They will become evil upon the earth and shall be called evil spirits. And the dwelling of the spiritual beings of heaven is heaven, but the dwelling of the spirits of the earth, those who from heaven to earth came, which are born upon the earth, is in the earth. The spirits of the giants opposing each other, they will corrupt, fall, be excited, and fall upon the earth and cause sorrow. They shall eat no food, nor become thirsty, nor find obstacles, and their spirits shall rise up against the children of the people and against the women, because they have proceeded forth from them. 1 Enoch 15. Now in Enoch 19, it also gives a variation of the origin of the demons. It implies that demons were already in existence during the time of the fall of the angels. Now listen to this. It implies that demons were already in existence during the time of the fall of the angels. According to 1 Enoch 10, 16, the demons and the spirits which go forth from these angels here shall stand in many different appearances, the spirits of angels, which have united themselves with women. They have defied the people and will lead them into error, and so that they will offer sacrifices to the demons as unto gods, until the great day of judgment, in which they shall be judged, till they are finished. 1 Enoch 19, verse 1. Now, listen to this. In 1 Enoch 85, verse 90, it gives a similar account of the fall of angels. In these passages, a star, Aziel, fell from heaven and began to pasture among the oxen, that's mankind. A number of stars then fell and were transformed into bulls, that's the worship of bulls. They began to cover the cows, and the angels married mortal women, whom they gave birth to elephants, camels, asses, the giants. The oxen then became restless and began to fight, but they became prey to the wild beast. The archangels then appear in the disguise of men. One size is the first of the fallen stars and cast it into the abyss. A second gives the elephants, camels, and asses a sword so they can slay each other. A third archangel stones the other fallen angels and casts them into the gulf. The story then goes on to describe the Maccabean revolt, which leads to a description of the final struggle between the good and evil. Now, it seems that there is a threefold aspect to the sin of the watchers in these accounts. First, it was a defilement of the essence of the angels to marry and engage in sexual acts with human women. Second, these unions between angels and mortal women were considered evil themselves because of the Nephilim and the evil created by these unions, and God caused the great flood of Noah's time to force the angels out of the area where they had been sinning and causing men to sin as they taught humanity the revealing secrets of the natural universe, which God did not intend for them to know in an evil state of mind. Now, let's go to the book of Jubilees. It's another book of my favorite reading. Matter of fact, the book of Jubilees is my favorite book after Enoch. And then the book of Genesis and the book of John and the book of Revelation are my favorite books. And the book of Jubilees gives... sin into the earth, and from the offspring of these unions, they were continuously sinners, and Yahweh repented that he'd ever made man because of the situation of the star seed who were beginning to procreate, bring forth a progeny after their own bloodline. Mahdiel named his son Jared because during his lifetime, the angels of Yahweh, who are called watchers, descended to earth to teach mankind and to do that which is upright on the earth. And that's in Jubilees chapter 4. Jubilees also says that they were sent by God himself in the 5th chapter, 6th verse. Against his angels, whom he had sent to the earth, he was angry enough to uproot them from all their positions of authority and remove them from the earth. Well, we know that's exactly what happened, but it took a while. Now, Jubilee also tells us an account of the fall of the angels similar to that of 1st Enoch, and God was so displeased because of the lust for the daughters of men, and the union of the angels and the women is said to be of the producing the Nephilim. For it was an account of these three things, fornication. Now, there's that word fornication. All Christian churches teach that fornication is a sex act between two unmarried people. Adultery is a sex act between married people. At least one of them. But that's not what the Bible said. Fornication is actually fortifying the blood from its original mixture, fortifying it with another mixture. In other words, crossing the bloodlines. That's what the angels did. They crossed their bloodline. It produced uncleanliness, injustice, and the flood that came upon the earth, since it was due to the fornication of the watchers, had illicit intercourse. Now think about this. Jubilees now, the book of Jubilees, mentioned in the Bible, chapter 7, verse 21, that they had illicit intercourse apart from the mandate of their authority with women. They weren't authorized to do that. They broke rank. They lusted. They were tempted. The weakness of an angel? Angels can sin? Well, that's what it says here. And the angels that sinned. Notice it. And the angels that sinned, he cast them down from heaven. Angels were cast down from heaven. That's what it says here. And the angels that sinned were cast down from heaven. And they were bound someplace called the bottomless pit. Now, what is a bottomless pit? Well, that could be space. And it's bottomless. I mean, you can go forever, cross galaxies at the speed of light, which is the fastest known theory of man. But I do believe there's far advanced ways to travel outside of light. If you warp speed, or if you create a vacuum, and where time doesn't exist, so then you don't have to measure speed because there's no time and space. And these are some of the technologies that were known to these angelic beings, who they taught the ancient science of had a place called Atlantis. It's a fabled myth. But there's some documented history to show you that the ring, we call it the Atlantean ring, where the cultures of certain areas, from Egypt to the Americas, Mexico, Peru, in the South American region, North America, on the coast of Spain, and around the Azores and back, just a circle. It just looked like that a landmass in the center of the ocean just dropped down and left the remnants of these people with technology, the pyramids, the tombs, the things of this nature that they had. These were ancient mighty ones, and they existed on a very, very advanced high technology island of Atlantis, and it sank beneath the sea because of the sin. It was overflowed with water and it perished, and the demons that controlled, after they become demons, they fell, and they're now noted as demons. But these are the same angels, shining lights, to see the very elect, coming back with power, signs, and lying wonders. So we've got our work cut out. We must study to show ourselves approved. Workmen that need not to be ashamed. The book of Jubilees talks about illicit intercourse and committing fornication, which is race mixing. Blood, not kind after kind, but going again, across the lines of kind to persuade. In the book of Jubilees, Mastemia is the chief of the spirits. Mastemia. As God commanded the angels to bind all the evil spirits, Mastemia came and asked Yahweh what some of the spirits might be allowed to remain with him to do his will. And according to the book of Jubilees now, God granted this request and allowed 1/10 of the spirits to remain with him while the other 9 parts would be condemned. So I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's just what it says here in Jubilees. When Mastemia, the leader of the spirits, came, he said, Lord, Yahweh, Creator, lead some of them before me and let them listen to me and do everything that I tell them, because if none of them is left for me, I shall not be able to exercise the authority of my will among mankind. Remember, he said, when he asked him, what are you doing here? He said, from going to and fro. For they are meant for the purpose of destroying and misleading before my punishment, because the evil of mankind is great. Then he said that 1/10 of them should be left before him, while he would make the other 9 parts descend to the place of judgment. The book of Jubilees, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Isn't that incredible? Is that why that they don't want us to read the book of Jubilees and the book of Enoch, that these perverted sins were highly encouraged and that these mighty ones were making deals? Just like we do here in politics, where we've got John Kerry and George W. Bush running for the office of the president, both of them skull and bones men, both of them Illuminati, both of them maybe blood cult worshipers, just like they were here, where they ate flesh and drank blood. You say, oh, that don't happen. Well, it happened back in the Bible days, and there's a lot of Bible to say it did, and who's to say it changed? The Bible only says men will get worse and worse. If they were eating one another and drinking blood back then, what do you think they're doing now? My heavens, I tell you what, your life is very expendable. They have total disregard for life. You're just an obstacle. If you're in the way, they'll eliminate you. Look at this now. in the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs. The fall of angels is mentioned twice. One is only a brief reference now, stating that the watchers changed the order of their nature. The second is in the book of Reuben, where he accuses womankind of seeking to ensnare men. And thus they allured the watchers before the flood, for as they continuously beheld them, the angels lusted after them and conceived the act in their mind. And they changed themselves into the shape of men and appeared to them when they were with their husbands. And the women lusting in their minds after the forms gave birth to giants, for the watchers appeared unto them as reaching up to heaven. Reuben, chapter 5. Now, in this account, Reuben denies that there was a physical union between angels and mortal women. He says that the real fathers of the giants were humans, but the giants were conceived from the mutual passion from angels and women. Well, I don't know about that, but something happened. Philo of Alexander wrote a commentary on Genesis 6 called Concerning the Giants, and in it he emphasized that the passage was not a myth. When the angels of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, they took unto themselves wives of all whom they chose. These beings, whom other philosophers call demons, Moses usually calls angels. And they are souls hovering in the air. And let no one suppose that what is stated here is a fable, for it is necessarily true that the universe must be filled with living things in all parts, since every one of its primary and elementary functions and portions contains its appropriate animals and such as are consistent with nature. The earth containing terrestrial animals, the sea and the rivers containing aquatic animals, and the fire of such as are born in the fire, but it is said that such are last are around chiefly in Macedonia. And the heaven pertaining to the stars, for those also are the entire souls pervading the universe, being unadulterated and divine, inasmuch as they move in a circle, which is the kind of motion most alien to the mind. For every one of them is the parent mind. It is therefore necessary that the air also should be full of living beings. And these beings are invisible to us, inasmuch as the air itself is not visible to mortal sight, but it does not follow, because our sight is incapable of perceiving the forms of souls, that for the reason that they must be no souls in the air. But it follows of necessity that they must be comprehensible by the mind in order that they may be contemplated by the like. That's in the 11th, or the second book, the 6th and 9th verse in Philo. Isn't that interesting? Names and misdeeds of the watchers is stated in, there in the book of Enoch, like I said. So why not? Why not look at the fallen angels? The story of a rebel force that defies a deity has been a topic of fascination. Authors and poets for millennia are telling or writing about these adventures of great adulterated fornication where the angels came from heaven and sat among men and had offspring. This is just totally, totally incredible. Now, there are two potential Bible passages that refer to the first account of fallen angels. In Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 4, and Psalms 82, 1, 5, and 7. To explain that the angels married women, you'd have to look at the books that were left out of the Bible. Were they left out a purposeful? Now, you would not find the key to the clues that are left in these books that weren't permitted in. They took them out because they were too clear as to what happened back in the days of Genesis. That it was a union between angels, fallen angels, and women that produced giants, that produced evil, that produced the flood, that produced a seed being preserved and replenished in the earth, just like Genesis 1:26, man Adam, was a replenisher for those who existed prior to Genesis 1 and 1. Here we go again. Now, this is going to climax in the final battle of Armageddon. We're going to have Satan and his angels present here upon the earth doing as they were doing in the days of Noah. What were they doing? They were marrying women and they were procreating. I do believe that there's experiments right now going on all over the world with these gods of the air. You know, the word Baal means a sky god. Zeus means a sky god. These who from the sky are able to travel and traverse great distances, and from the deep, Satan, his angels, the restraining chain has been cut, and Satan and his angels are now permitted to take up where they left off in Genesis chapter 6, and they will proceed until they have almost extinguished all of the seed of the holy ones, because they know Yahweh's children. They know that they're sent here to make war with the seed, the remaining seed of Yahweh, the star seed. Well, Yahweh said, fear not those who can kill the body, but fear those who have power to kill body and soul. So then, that's the word. Well, my time has just melted on down, and I've got to wrap this up. Praise Yahweh. I'd like for you to know this is Pastor Buddy. You listen to the Shepherd's Call, and we're glad to have you aboard tonight, and I've enjoyed being sitting in here with you, talking about some of the books that they didn't get into the Bible, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilee, and Philo, and some of the historians of ancient time that admitted, stayed out flat out, that these angels took up on the form of flesh and blood bodies, and I told you they have the capability to do that. Good angels did, and I assume that the bad angels had it also, because the bad angels were here before the good ones. They were, well, they weren't bad. They were sent, according to the Book of Enoch, they were sent here to instruct man, to help, and to be, and that's what the Bible said. They're guardian angels, guard you. As a guardian would little children. But by being around them and seeing the beauty of these beautiful women that were born to the sons of earth, they began to lust for them and began to miscegenate and began to mix and cross their blood, the blood of the angels with the blood of man. And, I mean, it produced disastrous results. Great, huge giants. I'm telling you, it's almost beyond comprehension here. But I hope and trust that you can understand that we are going right back to square one. Nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. If you'd like to write me tonight, just simply address your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. That's 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight on the 23rd day of September, so we're moving right along here in time. If you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight, you can do so by simply emailing buddy1 buddy1@centurytale.net. Again, lowercase letters, buddy1@centurytale.net. And you can get an email through to us here, and we'd be more than obliged to hear from you. And we appreciate having you in our midst tonight. And we certainly appreciate you taking the time to tune in tonight if you're listening through the flagship station, 100.3 FM. And we're being uplinked to satellite and then into internet, downloaded through the server, and we're around the world on internet connection. So tell a friend or a neighbor about us. We will not be here next week. We're going to be in Tabernacles Festival with our brothers and sisters in Andrews, North Carolina. It begins Monday evening on the full moon. So we'll begin together in there on Monday evening in Andrews, North Carolina. You're invited to attend. If you'd like directions and telephone numbers and hotel accommodations or whatever, you just give me a call, area code 423-626-2172, and I'd be glad to give you directions on how to get to Andrews to our festival. 8 days, glorious days, where we'll meet, we'll communicate, we'll teach, just like we've called tonight, and we will expound, and we'll search as the Bereans did to see if these things are so, and we'll have a great time. We'll fellowship. Man, I've met some powerful Elohim along the way here at these festivals. You know, the Bible said don't come empty-handed. Most come with a cheerful heart full of knowledge. And, you know, you get to pick from their tree the knowledge that they have acquired, and you trade knowledge. And this is how we grow in grace and in knowledge of our wonderful Father, who has a unique plan for his starseed children who are scattered through the earth. Here a little and there a little, and line upon line, and precept upon precept. Every word shall be established, and every sheep that he has will hear the master's call, because the sheep will hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, and he's lost none. Praise Yah. So that's just good news from the far country. Well, Pastor Buddy's saying, let me take you out with a little bit of Dixie here, and we love you tonight. We appreciate you sitting in. We'll be back here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That'll be 5 Pacific, 7 Central, and we are glad to have you among us tonight. Yahweh bless you is our prayer.